being a victim of home invasion. This is the part of the my testimony that many people have heard. I was shot in the head through the right cheek with a 45 caliber handgun bullet from about 6.5 feet.
Oh.
I was pronounced dead on the scene. I was taken to Brooke Army Medical Center, BAMC, here in San Antonio, Texas. And my parents were called to identify my body. And before they could identify my body, I woke up in the body bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Rooted in Christ podcast. My name is Eric Stevens. I'm the founder of Redwood Christian Ministries. Hope everyone out there is doing well today. With me on the show is my brother in Christ, husband, father, all-around man of God, Jesus lover, Drew Anderson. My brother, how you doing?
Hey, man. Breath in my lungs means God's not done yet, so the day is good, my brother. Glad to be here.
If he woke you up today, he got a plan and purpose for you today, and he is not done with you yet. That's what I'm standing on.
That's it.
There we go, man. Thanks for being on the show, man. I know we tried to get this scheduled, but between tornadoes and moving and
crazy. But yeah, it's a blessing, man. Truly an honor to help you steward your yes. And bro, I love the podcast. Love everything God is doing through not just your obedience, but through what the Holy Spirit has asked of those that you've had on the show previously. And a true privilege to lock arms with you today.
No, man, I appreciate it. It's crazy what God can do with your yes and your obedience. Your blessings are often on the other side of your obedience to him. And, you know, I'm seeing that firsthand because, you know, I've shared on this show before, like I told God I wasn't going to do this podcast. I'm like, there's so many podcasts out there. There's so many other Christians out there doing media and doing shows. And then somebody reminded me, he's like, God saw fit to tell the gospel from four different points of view. If he saw fit to do that, why shouldn't there be however many podcasts talking about Jesus? So we need it. We need to put more of this out there as much as we possibly can, you know? So, and you know, he's got me in a vein right now, which is especially in Cleveland, I'm doing a lot more coverage with Christian hip hop in, because it's not really in this area, the way that it is like in California, for example. Even Detroit, you know, we don't have it. So he's given me a space right now. And I thank him for this, that like I've had a chance to open up some people's eyes in the community to a whole nother genre of music that they would not have otherwise have been exposed to. Be like, you know, you don't have to listen to this artist and this. There's more, there's better music out here that aligns with your beliefs, you know. So
that's beautiful, bro. Yeah, Christian hip hop is definitely something that unless you experience it in its authentic form from somebody who truly has a heart for God and his people and isn't just looking for a secondary approach to a gifting that they think they have, you know, you can very easily associate or affiliate Christian rap with secular rap and desensitize yourself to the value or the ministry that truly exists within the content that some of those artists in Christian hip hop are producing. And there's some really good stuff out here. If you do some searching,
it's wild. What's really out here. And even to the part about the yes piece of it, like I've got a chance to like really sit down with some of these guests, like in person and like break bread with them and their families, pray with them, text them, pray, you know, have them pray for me, talk to them. Just like some are even holding me accountable for the relationship that I'm in right now. Like it is crazy. Like my brother K Diamond hit me up yesterday. He was like, "Hey, congratulations on getting the house." And he nonchalantly says, "So when y'all moving in together?" You know what I mean? I was like, "Diamond, after marriage, you know what I mean?" Like, but that is dope because like he loves me enough to ask me that question just to make sure, you know?
Yeah.
You know, even though that he probably 99% knew what the answer is going to be, he was like, "Let me just check on my brother." You know what I mean? So this podcast opened the door for me to really just make great connections in the Lord, such as yourself, you know? So I appreciate your brotherhood.
Amen, my brother. That's what it says, man. Word of God says that there's safety in the counsel of many. So, bro, it's a blessing to hear that you got some solid relationships and some brothers around you that care enough about you to ask you the hard questions, man. It's definitely something needed as we grow in our relationship with Christ, man. It's beautiful.
So while I got you, you know, I know that I got you for a short period of time over here today. So I want the audience just to get to know more about you, your testimony. So just share any part of your life story where you like, you know, where you used to be, some of the things God has set you free from, and just some of the things you're doing for the kingdom today.
Man, absolutely happy to do it. And so I was born in Korea, a small town called Busan. I was abandoned at birth. And so left at a fire station, put into the system. I was adopted by an American military family. And I've been with them since pretty much a newborn child. Both of them were in the Air Force. And so it's been quite a journey. If you're a military brat, you're tuned into the podcast today, you know you're moving once, twice, sometimes three times a year. For me personally, I was already a misfit, a Korean kid with white parents, and so was ridiculed quite a bit for being different. And as you can probably imagine, moving as often as I did caused me to be very secluded, because I learned, or I accepted, that the pain of being alone was a less severe pain than the pain of saying goodbye to friendships and connections that I had made. So I spent much of my young life existing in seclusion instead of partaking in community. And so fast forward, my parents retired in San Antonio, Texas, and I got my first opportunity to make permanent friends, chose the absolutely probably worst candidates for friendships. But again, I was vulnerable, and usually the worst influences are the easiest to acclimate to because they're looking for vulnerable people.
That's real.
So I got involved in drugs and alcohol, the way I started dressing, cutting my hair, my language, the way I treated my parents, that all radically changed. I found myself living a life of crime, very disrespectful, very rebellious, and found myself in jail a few times, more than a few times, more than I'd like to admit, but a lot of times. The two major portions of my testimony are: I was run over by a vehicle, was deemed that I wouldn't walk again, wouldn't run again. Several months in a rehabilitation clinic, I ended up walking myself to the restroom one early morning without realizing. And the nurses ran in and said, "You know, what are you doing?" I said, "You know, using the bathroom." They said, "Hey, you're walking though." It's like, holy crap. But, you know, as a saved person, you would probably say, "Thank you, Jesus," but I wasn't saved at the time. So took all the credit. I tell people all the time, and I was like, I thought I was the next Marvel superhero. Someone make a movie about me, like Regeneration Man. And went back to the same dirt, man, and ended up being a victim of home invasion. This is the part of my testimony that many people have heard. I was shot in the head through the right cheek with a 45 caliber handgun bullet from about 6.5 feet.
Oh.
I was pronounced dead on the scene. I was taken to Brooke Army Medical Center, BAMC, here in San Antonio, Texas. And my parents were called to identify my body. And before they could identify my body, I woke up in the body bed. And they nursed me back to health on the identification table and then moved me to ICU. I spent many days in ICU. A nurse would come to my room every day and she would say, "You know, baby, God has a plan for you." And she would read the word. She would pray with me. At the time, again, I'm not saved. So I would have gotten rid of her had I had the ability to, but because of the damage my face had taken, they had sewed my jaw shut. So I couldn't speak. And so it was almost like the Lord was saying, "No, you're going to listen." And after I got discharged, the nurse asked me to do one thing. She said, "Go to church. Just promise me you'll give church a try." So I walked into a non-denominational church shortly after being released. I had a radical encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And bro, not a single thing. When I tell you, from smoking, drinking, profanity, womanizing, pornography, lust, anger, not a single one of those things plagued me after that encounter. And I know that for those of you who are tuned in or watching, not everyone had such a radical encounter. But man, when I encountered the power of God, it radically 180'd my life. And all I desired to do after that was serve him. And so I'm sure that most of y'all can relate. When you first get saved, all you want to do is tell people to repent, tell people that what they're doing is sinful, and try to win them to the Lord with zeal. Now, almost 14 years into this thing, I've learned that compassion, mercy, grace, and love, as it's defined in 1 Corinthians 13, are much more effective ways to tell people about the God we serve. But to finish up, what I do now for the sake of the kingdom is I steward a community called the Heartbeat of Heaven in San Antonio, Texas, out of the Tectonic Center off 1604. I travel most every weekend sharing what God has done in my life and the Word of God. And then something that I love doing is Christian hip hop. And so, you know, I've written music now since as long as I can remember, probably 25 years. I definitely did it for the world. And so it was easily transitionable once I accepted Christ. I promise, and I tell people all the time, the first couple of songs I made when I got saved in Christian hip hop, super corny. I'm talking about like dance move songs where I was like the sign of the cross. Like, I'm telling, bro, it's cringy. Cringy to even listen to some of the tracks that I made. But as I've matured in Christ and as God has kind of expanded the reach and asked more of me in the matters of teaching and preaching and discipleship, music and Christian hip hop is now something I do as the Lord leads instead of something I do because I can. So over the last 6 years, I've dropped 2 EPs. One was 6 tracks and one is 7 tracks. Music will always be near and dear to my heart, but nowadays all I do, man, steward the yes that I've given God, love my wife and my family as God has called me to prioritize and do, and just continue to navigate the narrow path, bro, until God calls my name, until the sky cracks, bro.
Out of everything that you just said, I know how random this question is about to be, but I'm curious, have you had any contact or kept in contact with that nurse at that facility who kind of helped you during your journey?
I called the hospital and asked for like a name. I was like, I know the nurse. I know what she looks like. I've just forgotten her name. I asked about the time and if there was any nurse records, and I've not been able to recover her name. And so a lot of my pastoral or spiritual brothers who offer me counsel and mentorship is like, who knows who that was, man, you know, at the end of the day. But, you know, whoever she is, if you happen to tune in or you've seen my testimony, just know that I'm eternally grateful for your commitment to serve the kingdom well. Again, she didn't know me from anything. She just chose to share what was best in her with what she saw to be the best in me, which was Jesus. And it has, longevity-wise, impacted hundreds of thousands of people that have gotten to hear my story and the gospel of Jesus through my testimony, because she decided that sowing a seed into a young man's life in a hospital bed was worth more than doing whatever else she could have been doing in that moment. So no, I don't have her name, but man, I bless the Lord for her every day.
We never know like how we may be impacting somebody else's life. Like that could be seed planted, seed watered. We just never know. Our job is to just be obedient to the very thing that God is calling us to do, you know, in that moment. And I've said this on this podcast several times, but one of the prayers that I pray, and I tell people, don't pray it unless you mean it. Holy Spirit, interrupt my day.
That's it.
Don't pray it unless you mean it, because your day will be interrupted and you will be in some place that you were not anticipating, possibly praying for somebody in the grocery store, leading them to the Lord. Like, you just don't know. You don't know.
Be ready. Gotta be ready.
You said something really good about the music. Like, it's no longer something that you're doing because you can do it, but you're doing it purposed unto him. So what sort of difference have you seen in that? Like, what impact have you seen? I'm like, God, this is yours, and this is a gift you give me to steward, but I know I can do it, but I'm doing this unto you. What does that really look like for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, 14 years into doing it for the Lord, in the very beginning, you operate on a zeal to share your gift. And what I realized very young into it was, when you don't know what to do and you make music for the sake of making it, you tend to chase two things: comparison and style. And so who's the most popular that I can find, and how can I mirror what they're doing as an excuse to say, to God be the glory, when really it's me looking to be glorified by being elevated through a gift. And so over time and maturity, it's become a labor of love for me. And what I've noticed, the main focus that I've noticed when it comes to what my music sounds like now compared to what it sounded like back then, is I used to make music that had a lot of content that was Christian, but the core of the music created was self. And so the best example that I give people when I'm asked this question is, there's a difference between Gideon asking questions of the angel of the Lord under the measure of integrity, and Nebuchadnezzar building a gold statue and telling people, bow down or I'm going to throw you in a fire. And I feel in Christian hip hop, many people come to Christian hip hop with an idol of self in mind, while they say, so they talk about the God of the Bible, but they're seeking the affirmation of man because there's an idol of self that's involved. And so learning to die to the idol of self has created lyrics and music and content that I feel truly narrates the heart of the Lord according to scripture, instead of Christian terminology according to Drew. And so instead of it being Drew that I hear now in the music, I know that some of these things have to be inspired by the Lord himself in scripture, because my life is in a different position and what I'm rooted in is Christ and no longer love of myself.
I'm going to stick to that for the self is part of the rooted in Christ theme in that. So what did that transformation look like for you? Like, what are some of the steps that you really had to take? Because you said, obviously, I think you said you got hit by was it a truck, you said?
SUV. It was a SUV. Jeep Grand Cherokee. Yeah, Jeep Grand Cherokee to be exact.
Hit by the SUV. Then you had the home invasion. So what steps did you really take to say, all right, Lord, I'm done. I'm surrendered. I'm yours. So like, what are some of the things you had to put in place to start walking on that straight and narrow path?
So I disappeared off the grid. As you can imagine, when people got word that I died and came back to life, there were churches trying to get me to be a member there. There were, people trying to give me titles. Suddenly, I could have been a pastor at 10 churches in my city, being safe for 3 days because they wanted the story, the affiliation. And so what I had to do was find myself in a position where I understood what the word was. And so I took 3 years. Sat myself down and studied his word. I moved from a home to an apartment. I jumped off all social media platforms and I shut off my cell phone service to a point where people were looking for me but couldn't find me. And so after the 3 years when the Lord released me to come back to social media and start to be a little bit more public again with what God had been doing in my life, I had set so much time aside. And it wasn't, people be like, I'm going on a social media fast. And then they post in the afternoon again. It was literally something that I had to submit to God and say, look, when you are ready for me to step back into the public eye, then I shall. But until then, I commit my time to you. And so as a young Christian, that was mind boggling to many because they're like, bro, you could be famous. You could have millions of followers. And I said that's probably true, but I would rather be faithful with what God has given me. And I can't do that if I don't know the word that I have to, lead other people with. And so the most practical, tangible step that I took was separate from all I knew so that I could get to know the one who created me and his word, so that when I came back, I had something more than, I was dead and came back to life to share with people. Like, that's a cool testimony, but it saves nobody. And so in order to be a good steward of sowing seeds, I had to have good seeds to sow.
So what would you say to someone who, they've picked up the Bible and they see that it says, okay, we are in this world, but we're not of this world. So how would you talk about going ahead and just living that out?
Yeah, so when the Word of God says that we're in the world, not of the world, you have to die to your understanding of what being in the world means. When you're in the world and you read that practically, yeah, we're in it, but we're not of it. And that speaks to one word, and that is identity. And when you don't understand who you are in Christ, you will never, understand what you're called to do in Christ. And you will continue to view life, blessings, obstacles, situations, and circumstances through the lens of what you've learned instead of the lens of who you are.
Come on.
And to be in this world and not of this world is to mean, yes, you're in the world, but you belong to Christ. And when you belong to Christ, that gives you access to being a son or a daughter. That gives you access to provision that is outside the world's understanding, power and authority that doesn't make sense to random people, an indwelling of a spirit that gives you the ability to discern situations. And so a lot of people look at it like, well, I'm in the world. That's true. But until you understand who you are in Christ, there's not a way that you'll ever understand how to be not of the world and in it at the same time, because there's not a way to be light in darkness unless we're in the world. But in order to be in the world and make an impact in darkness as light, we have to be not of the world that we're in.
It's one of the main reasons that I tell Christians, like, we need to be in our word so we understand what God is telling us. It sounds so simple to say, we need to know what we're supposed to do so we know what we're not supposed to do, but it really is that black and white of a thing. It really is that easy. If I need to know, Lord, what are you telling me to do? And I'm just going to stick to this script. And if you didn't tell me to go this route, then I'm not going to. Because your blessings, your favor, and your promises are on the other side of that obedience. So yeah. I'm going to go this way because I can't ask you to bless my disobedience.
Correct.
And
man, that's good.
And I think that in our walk, we have the greatest book of all time. So claiming ignorance is not something that we don't have to. It's not an option. We cannot claim ignorance when it is right there.
Yes.
But it's when it's just flat out just given to us. So, you know, if we want those promises and we want that breakthrough, it is gonna cost us something.
And it's true.
And honestly, if Jesus is taking it away, I have to ask myself, why are you taking it away? Because not why, as in the sense that I'm questioning you, where are we going? What do I need to see? What is hindering me from getting closer to you? Because I'm getting to this point in my walk now where I'm not really asking, is something sinful anymore? I'm asking, is this action that I'm getting ready to do going to be God honoring? Because if I start there, I'm not even going to get to the point of this is wrong. It's wrong. Is what I'm getting ready to do for where you're calling me going to bring you honor? And if the answer is no, then I don't have to get to the question of, is this sin or not? Because this could be as simple as, yeah, I used to watch this movie or this TV show. And you know what? I don't really think the Holy Spirit is going to be present while I'm sitting here partaking in this particular activity. No. So my conviction is this is not honoring God. I'm going to stay away from this. And I know that is a very basic and simple example. That is just, that's kind of where I've been lately. Is what I'm getting ready to do going to honor him?
Yes. It's an important question. You got to ask that question before you do almost everything that you do nowadays, and does this truly honor God? You got to envision it as if he is sitting by you. You know, we've been talking heavily in my circle of influence about kingdom integrity. And somebody told me that, well, I was like, what is kingdom integrity to you? They said, well, doing what you say you're doing, even when no one's watching. And one of my brothers was like, well, God is always watching. And so the difference between integrity by the world standard and kingdom integrity is that to do what you do, even when no one's watching, and then realizing that once you're no longer a part of the world that you're in, but you're God's, God is watching at all times. And so are you doing what you say, living the way you say? And social media is a great example of it, right? If our social media faith doesn't match our real life faith, then that's an issue, you know? And so we feel like we can be super Christians on Facebook or Instagram, but we can't be super Christians when we're not. It's problematic. And it's probably because we're not asking that question that you just brought up, which is, does this truly honor God? And is what I'm partaking in, you know, agreeing with what the Lord agrees with? And then I'll take it even a step further by saying, for those of you out there who hang around people who call themselves Christians and don't live in a way or participate in things that don't honor God, remember that your silence is agreement with that atmosphere. So by being somewhere and not partaking and still remaining quiet is to agree with what's happening. So don't be afraid to speak up for the greater good of what the gospel says. The truth won't make you popular, but the truth is ultimately what is the final authority for all things we do.
If I'm sitting in a room and the person I'm talking to, the two people I'm with, are gossiping and talking about somebody else, and even if I'm not participating and I'm not shutting that down, I'm participating. It really is that simple.
You agree with it.
You agree with it. If I'm listening to, and I'm only picking secular music right now because I just got done recording with DKG Kai, so it's music is in my head heavy right now. But if I'm sitting here and I'm listening to, you know, a secular song that's talking about murder, killing, drug dealing, all of these things, and I'm bobbing my head to it, I'm coming into agreement with what they're saying and what they're doing.
Yes.
Whether I've lived that life or not. So sometimes I have to ask myself, what am I coming into agreement with? Just by being present, just by being silent, just by, you know, turning a blind eye, you know. And you know, I did I think it was right before I did the Holy Gabbana interview. Yeah. I had just finished a devotional about heavenly citizenship, to your point, and asking myself, is this decision that I'm getting ready to make, does this honor my heavenly citizenship? Is this an action or an act that someone who is seated in heaven, would they really do what I'm getting ready to do right now? Right. And it was a different thought process, the sense of I'm already seated in this heavenly place. My soul has already been saved by Jesus. So before you make this decision, and it doesn't matter what that, no decision is too big or too small for God. I believe God is in all of the details. So where do you want me to go buy this new house? Do you want me to take this job? Do you want me to leave my current job? Is this the person that you want me to marry? Where do you want us to have this concert? Lord, who do you want to have on this podcast? I just gave you my life right now. You know, what do you want me to preach on? You know, where do you want me to go to this? I'm not going to start calling churches. You open up those doors. You know, you let me know. When somebody needs them, you tell them they probably have the number. You know, this is my life right now. So I'm making these decisions based off my heavenly citizenship. I'm already seated there. So let me make my decisions from that high of a place. So when we start that high, I'm not starting down here. You know, we're starting at the highest spot possible. So do you have any, well, one, actually, before I ask this question about the music, so the organization that you said did you say you started the organization there?
So I steward a discipleship community in San Antonio called the Heartbeat of Heaven. We're housed out of the Tectonic Center here in San Antonio, Texas. It's a cool place, man. It's a coffee shop, a co-working place, and a place that stewards ministry. And so I've come alongside that family here in San Antonio and just trying to do what God has asked of us to do in tandem and unity. It's been a beautiful thing, man. We're looking to expand here within the next couple of months to a more frequent situation. And God has been faithful to continue to send people who are hungry for that more that God offers us.
So to whatever degree you can explain it, so if you guys expand, what kind of ministry would you then be expanding into? Like, what else would you guys be doing?
And so right now I was sitting in a church building and the Lord put it on my heart one day. He said, how many people are sitting in pews that want more, who want to serve God in a greater capacity, but because they don't have a title, because they don't rub elbows with upper tier leadership, because they don't have the time to commit to serving the church that we attend the way others do, will never get that opportunity to do so. And because they'll never get the opportunity to do so in a building, now lack the courage to do so outside of the building. And so how can I help steward those people? And the Lord gave me this blueprint for a community that would say, hey, no, I'm not after your flock. No, I'm not trying to steal people and create this ministry that's above your ministry or in competition with your ministry. But I want to create a community that says, hey, if you're searching for the more of God, if you're searching to operate in your or steward your anointing or call, and you just feel powerless or opportunity-less to do so, come here and ask your questions. Come here and be vulnerable. Come here and meet other people that feel the same way but have the same zeal and passion to serve the Lord faithfully. And let's do this together and let's make an impact for our city. You know, I feel that as time progresses, we have pushed people into such a deep four-wall system that they feel like if anything happens outside of the four-wall system they're a part of, that they cannot attend it, they can't be a part of it, or else it's unloyal, or it's you know, it's not proper submission, whatever control tactic manipulation that the head of those ministries say is intimidating people out of participating in true moves of God. So how can I represent not just change or a deconstruction of a man-made system, but how can I partner with people who love God, who have a message to share and a passion and an obedience to say yes to whatever that looks like, and give them the tools, the resources, the equipping, the discipleship needed, and then the opportunity or the space to operate in what God has asked of them to do in this season. That's what birthed the Heartbeat of Heaven. We started it in January of this year. We're 8 months going on 9 months strong with no plans of slowing down until the Lord says otherwise.
If somebody wanted to partner with you guys, or what would be the best way to reach out?
I mean, you can hit me on any socials. You can hit me email address. It's just drewanderson@gmail.com. But man, I think the most important part as far as partnership in San Antonio is, I mean, just come stop by the Tectonic Center. Let's link, let's have a coffee, let's talk about what God is saying, and let's grow an intentional relationship, because there is no partnership without relationship. You know, a lot of people want to be a part of something, but until we can be in agreement with what God is saying, there is not a whole lot of partnership available. And so keep us in prayer. And if you want to hear more about what God is doing, just stop by the Tectonic Center here in San Antonio. And we are more than happy to share what God has given us blueprint wise and ways that you can partner.
I now see why God had us. One of the reasons, at least right now, why he had us, you and I connect. The concert that I'm throwing here November 2nd at the House of Blues is called Beyond the Walls.
Awesome. Beautiful, bro.
That's what, right. And you would have had no idea, because you wouldn't have known that, you know. Originally that concert was supposed to be called Unite Cleveland. And I think I was just going to call it. Yeah, I think it was going to be called Unite Cleveland. And when we started booking the artists, I realized, I started looking around, like, nobody on this thing is from Cleveland. You know, so I was like, all right, well, whatever. God started, he's like, change it to Beyond the Walls.
Wow.
And then that day, random people just started talking to me about Beyond the Walls. And then I started hearing random phrases about Beyond the Walls. You just randomly mentioned, obviously random, not really, Beyond the Walls. I'm like, all right. Yeah. So I know that this is a God thing, because that's my heartbeat, is to one, tear down these walls that separate the church, but also to understand that we have to then go out and be the church, you know.
That's
so
it.
I feel you more than you, and you probably can see the banner behind me. So I feel you more than you realize. Like that is my thing. Like, I love church on Sunday morning. I love being in the house of God. Like, I love serving. I will go to other churches that I've never been to before and volunteer. It does not matter to me. I love being in God's house. I love being in God's presence. But that's great. But the Great Commission is to see people saved and then also go out and make disciples. So I myself have to be a disciple first, and then I have to then go out and tell other people about him. So know him and make him known. So if I just keep it in here, or keep it at my quote unquote church, that's not being the church. And the Bible is clear that Jesus is coming back for his bride. It's the singular. So, you know, that's my passion.
Yes, sir. It blesses me to hear that. Yeah, absolutely. No, I would know about what you're planning to do November 2nd, but man, we've become a Christianity that tells people to come here instead of go ye. And it's desperately important that, you know, not to disqualify the need for a church or a covering. I believe that attending church is important. Being a part of a community is important. But if you're a part of a community and you're a part of a church and that's all you do is attend, and you don't ever walk outside the four walls of the building of that church and contend for the things of God outside of it, then you've missed something that's in scripture, which is go ye, go make disciples of all nations, go preach the gospel to all creatures. And if we only participate in attendance and we never participate in contending for the things of God outside the walls, we've become part of a kingdom that it doesn't have a capital K in front of it. That is a lower K kingdom. And it's just an urgency on my heart to see people that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ hear it. I say this often, but my goal as a Christian, or my mission as a believer, was never to make lights brighter. It was to make darkness light. And so we find ourselves around other lights all the time, but we need to start to find ourselves with lights in darkness instead of with lights around other lights. It's awesome that to hear that you've committed to doing so up there, and I pray heaven falls on November 2nd.
Amen. I receive it, because the other part of that too, to your point, is December 7th, we're throwing a men's conference, because I don't want to just have this large concert, throw a party, and there's no discipleship afterwards, you know?
Absolutely.
Because I know from my own testimony, we can show up in a room and be smiling and dancing and be happy and then be ready, you know, to take our own lives the time we get home. You know, there's a reality of that. So we want to make sure that, like, how's your heart? I know we just had a good time, but how's your relationship with Jesus? You know, that's where this is ultimately going to go, you know? So
beautiful, bro. Praise God for that.
Brother, thank you so much for being on the show today. This has been a huge blessing. This will not be the last time we talk. When I get down to San Antonio, I'm definitely going to link up. You know, if you're in Cleveland, feel free to come to this concert, come to the men's conference. We'd love to have you. We're going to get together soon. We'll get together soon.
Just get it, man. You got a place to stay in San Antonio if you're ever down here, bro.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. That brings us to the Let Them Know segment. This is the final segment of the podcast. This is where you can share anything you like with the audience. My brother, please let them know.
Absolutely, man. If you're tuned in today's podcast, man, and you're somebody that loves the Lord, or you're somebody that is on the fence, what I want to share with you today is a scripture that I've been studying profusely for several weeks now, which is the prodigal son story. And we all know the story of the son who takes his inheritance and runs and realizes in the pig pen that servants in the house eat, and he devises this lie and this scheme to win the father's approval and ends up not needing it. But we don't ever get to hear the sermon about the son who stayed home, who never left, who was always in the presence of the father and still didn't know the character of the father. And so I want to just share with y'all today that if you find yourself close to the Father, remember that being close to the Father, being in the house of God, being in the presence of the Father, doesn't ever replace being in relationship with the Father. Please, please, please don't spend your entire life close to God without ever knowing who he truly is or his character. And so I pray that, you know, everyone who's tuned in, everyone who's pulling up to watch this would hear the story that you can be close to God and still not know him. And that my prayer today would be, as close as you are to him, that you would seek to hear his voice and know his character more than you would know where he is, that you would know who he is.
So good. Thank you so much, brother. Would you mind closing out in prayer before we get out of here?
Absolutely, my honor. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that you are who you say you are. God, that you say your word never comes back void, and that's proven to be true. And Lord, no matter how many times we drop the ball, your faithfulness never fails. So God, I just thank you for my brother Eric, Lord God, and the season that you have him in. Lord, that your favor and that your hand of protection would cover him and guide him through the podcast and the decisions that he has coming up. But I ask that every listener, every person that comes across the reel or the stream itself, Lord, would be reminded that they are a son or a daughter of the Most High King, that no matter how far away they've drifted, Lord God, that you would invite them back with open arms. And Lord, that there is peace that passes all understanding and a joy that cannot be stolen by circumstance or situation. because joy does not come from those things. So Father, I just thank you that you are, again, Lord, who you say you are. And Lord, until you decide to call our name, until the sky cracks open, Lord God, would you find us faithful? Lord, would you move us closer to you? And Lord, would you help us to understand that your character and your nature is mercy, grace, compassion, and love, so that we can serve others the way that you've called us to. So Lord, thank you for this time together, Lord. Let your name be glorified alone. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Lord, I just lift up my brother, Drew. Lord, I just pray that you just continue to just lead and guide him, Father. But I pray you continue to give him the grace to just be obedient to everything you've called him to do, Lord. I pray you continue to give him clarity of just of where to put his hands, where to place his feet, Lord, where to walk, where to go, what shows to do, Father. Just make it clear to him the things that you, where you want to use him, Father. So I thank you for his yes. Lord, I pray for all the work that he's doing in his area, Lord. I pray that you just expand his territory, Father, and surround him with the right people who are going to help guide him on his journey, Lord. I thank you for everyone at the sound of my voice right now, Lord. I thank you for just healing. I thank you for the wisdom you're providing. I thank you that chains are being broken. I thank you that bondage is being broken. I thank you that breakthrough is taking place even now. I thank you that hope is being restored even now. I thank you that encouragement is taking place even now, Father. And I thank you for the answered prayer, that whether we hear it or not, Lord, I just thank you in advance what you're going to do in the lives of everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I just thank you right now that you are going to make it clear to us how you're going to continue to use Drew and I in our relationship, not for our own glory, but for yours. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you have been enjoying our content, please like, follow, share, and subscribe to the Rooted in Christ podcast. We are on all major podcast platforms. If you're looking for us on YouTube, we are Redwood Christian Ministries. And in case you missed it, the show, November 2nd, Beyond the Walls, Miles Minnick, Breno, Eli Williams, Kay Diamond, Richard Williams, and myself. And then we got the Beyond the Walls Men's Conference, December 7th at Hope City. Check us out. My brother, thank you for being on the show. We're going to link up soon.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. God bless you. Love you.
Love you too, brother.